Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Trey Carey, the lead pastor of Modern Worship. We hope this week's message connects with you and helps you connect with God. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBoro. We also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and in the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
Over the last several weeks, we have been in a series called To Be Continued. It's a series that has been pushing us to continue to seek out how to live a better story with our lives. Using the verse from 2 Timothy 3:14, where Paul is writing to Timothy, his apprentice, encouraging him by saying, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." As a way of continuing in this journey, not just through this series, but also as we come face to face with the culmination of this season of Lent. How fitting it is that the title of the sermon today is A Road to a Better Story. Considering that our scripture today begins on a road. So hear the word of God as told by Mark. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go immediately into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in their fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna to the highest heavens.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." The word for our ears today. One of my favorite things to do when I am stressed or overwhelmed or when I have a big decision to make, or even when I need to work through my thoughts when writing a sermon or on life in general, I tend to go for a drive. Nothing can make me become more at ease than being on the open road with the windows down and the music on. For me, it is complete peace. One of the things that I have found on my many back roads and drives that I have been on is that roads have stories to tell. As I thought about this theme of a road to a better story, I couldn't help but think of some of the famous stories and not so famous stories of the roads that we travel. So see if you can figure out where these are located or what roads these are. This first one should be pretty easy. Where is that? Abbey Road. I'm sure everybody should know that, right? This is Abbey Road. This is in Westminster in London. While we know why this image existed, or we know that this image exists, you may not know the story behind the image or the significance in the crosswalk. You see, this was across the street from the Beatles studio. The band had just had a failure in their Let It Be album and felt as though this might be the end of the line for them. The album with this infamous image was actually supposed to be named Everest, with the image of the band on Mount Everest. But because the label wanted something quickly, they decided to get this image of them walking across the crosswalk. Apparently, this whole idea was Paul McCartney's idea, and they finished it in about 10 minutes' time. Because of this picture and that album, that crosswalk today has become a major attraction for so many. Even those people that don't know who the Beatles are can recognize that road. This road tells a story. This one may be a little more difficult. Can anybody tell me what road that is? Did you say Forrest Gump? Route 66. It is Route 66. I can only imagine the stories that this road could tell. But the story of the road itself is that it served as a major path for those who migrated west during the 1930s. This road stretched from Chicago, Illinois, all the way to Santa Monica, California. This road supported the economies of the small communities that it passed through and was in commission until it was completely replaced by the interstate system in 1985. When the interstate system was set in place, much of Route 66 was abandoned and no longer taken care of. But over the years since 1985, parts of Route 66 have been repaired and named the historic Route 66. Many travel on this road today just to say they drove on Route 66. This road tells a story. The next image is a little bit closer to home. I had the opportunity this week to speak to someone at Shacklett Photography who not only gave me permission to use this photo, but found the picture for me to use, and who also told me several stories about the history of this community. You see, this image is of East Main Street in Murfreesboro, Tennessee in 1908. And it's heading from the square to MTSU. Now, I realize that there aren't probably any of us here who know what that street actually looked like in 1908. But I would guess that many of us in this room can imagine in our minds the many ways that that road has changed over 110 years. I would also guess that many of us in this room have our own stories of that road. You see, this road isn't just an image. It's an actual part of who we are and an actual part of many of our everyday lives. This road has a story to tell. You see, all of these roads have their own stories that really tell the journey of whoever is traveling it, if only we are willing to listen to it. I have one last image for you. Over the last few weeks, Reverend Thad Austin has spent some time in Israel with a group, and I asked him to send me a few of the pictures that he could of the gate that is called the Eastern Gate. This gate has a story to tell. It is our understanding as Christians that this gate was where Jesus rode into Jerusalem. For those who may not know what a gate is, a gate was a way into the city. Not only did the walls protect the city from invaders, but it was also a usual practice for businesses and all of business to be handled at the gates. As you can see in this image, the Eastern Gate has been sealed for centuries. And it is said that it is awaiting a miraculous opening when the Messiah comes back and the dead are resurrected. While there is so much more that I could say about the Eastern Gate, this morning, this gate only serves as a part of the road into Jerusalem for Jesus. But it also serves as a place where we, as Christians, in this season of Lent, are stepping into the heaviness of Holy Week, turning our eyes toward not just what we read about and remember this morning, but also of what would come by week's end. In his Palm Sunday sermon in 2015, Pope Francis was so eloquently put into words the attitude of the day as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. He said, "Crowds celebrating, praise, blessing, peace. Joy fills the air. Jesus has awakened great hopes, especially in the hearts of the simple, the humble, the poor, the forgotten, those who do not matter in the eyes of the world." He understands human sufferings. He has shown the face of God's mercy. He has bent down to heal body and soul. While I would guess that this representation of what this day might have looked like is true, I believe that there was likely a great amount of tension in the air as well. You see, this road that Jesus was traveling wasn't going to lead him somewhere that was going to be easy. In fact, the road seemed to get harder and harder the closer that he got to Jerusalem. But this tension didn't just exist because he knew where he was headed and how it would all end. There was also a tension because he traveled with 12 men who didn't totally know what was going on, but who knew who Jesus was, because Jesus had confirmed it time and again. He confirmed it when Peter declared that Jesus was the Messiah after Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" He confirmed it again when he was transfigured on a mountain with Elijah and Moses. He confirmed who he was and what would happen to him by foretelling three different times what would happen in the days ahead as they entered Jerusalem. I can only imagine the tension and the fear that existed as they approached Jerusalem on that road. Yet they continued the journey. They continued down the road and found a donkey, just as Jesus had said they would. Jesus rode into the city on a donkey, an animal that represented humility, but still offered dignity, as a donkey was a common form of transportation. And in the days to follow, he would shake up Jerusalem and the religious leaders, adding even more stress and tension and fear every day, and challenging them more than he ever had before. The religious leaders were already looking for a way to get rid of this man, who was challenging them to live beyond how they had been living. All of the events of the week ahead only made them want to get rid of him even more. Until finally, those people who were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest heaven," at the beginning of the week, were the ones shouting, "Crucify him." From there, he would walk the road of the Via Dolorosa that seemed to lead him to the end at Golgotha. And that led him to a most humiliating and painful death as he hung on a cross. One of the definitions of the word road is a wide way of leading from one way to another. In this story and all throughout the Gospels, this is what Jesus has been doing for us in teaching his disciples and those who follow him. He teaches us. He sets the example of how to live a better story. He walks the road to what a better story can look like. Up until this point, I've mostly talked about a road in the literal sense, meaning an actual path that you can walk or drive on. But we are called as disciples of Christ to walk the road of Christ, a road that might be a metaphorical road representing a journey. I've paid a lot of attention in the last few weeks to my many friends who have been in Israel. And they've been posting pictures all over my Facebook wall of these places in Israel. I have been told that when you go to Israel, it changes your life. It changes the way you preach. It changes the way you read your Bible. I believe that fully to be true. How could it not? To actually walk where Jesus walked. How can that not be powerful? But that isn't the only way to walk the road of Christ. You see, Jesus wasn't who they expected as they shouted, "Hosanna." He came to serve, not to be served. He came to love, not condemn. And ultimately, he came to offer forgiveness to a hurting world. See, walking the road of Christ is living by his example. Not just looking at his words, but looking at who he was and what he did when he walked on the earth. And that can take on many forms. One of the things that we've been asked to do throughout this Living a Better Story campaign is to think about what breaks your heart and do something to change it. In many ways, walking the road of Christ is finding something, recognizing what it is that breaks your heart and doing something to change it. It can mean standing for someone or a group of people that are hurting or hurt, or those who can't stand for themselves. It can mean sitting with someone at lunch who normally sits alone. It can mean being present with a friend in the midst of a painful situation. It can mean speaking hard truth in love. And it can mean honoring someone who may never honor you back. Henri Nouwen once wrote in relation to walking the road of Christ, "It is an act of discipleship in which we must follow the hard road of Christ, who entered death with nothing but bare hope." The thing that Nouwen ends with is hope. Even in the midst of the heartbreak that this week will produce, Even in the midst of the pain that will be experienced, even in the midst of the disbelief of all that happens, there is hope. Even when it can't be seen. To walk the road of Christ might be easy at moment, but it will always be difficult. In fact, Christ once told his disciples words that still ring true today. In this world, you will have great trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Hope. This road into Jerusalem on what we consider Palm Sunday is only the beginning of what we know as Holy Week. In the words of Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor, this week we are being invited and asked to endure the story of the death of Jesus in living color, in gory detail. And we are asked to walk with him and the disciples every step of the way. Each year, we are asked to forget about what we know will take place on Sunday morning and to simply live in the moments at hand, because it is in those places when we allow ourselves to be fully present in the events of that week that we might learn something new about Jesus. But it will also allow us to experience hope in a way that either we have forgotten or even a hope that we may have never known before. May it be so in your life and in mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.